But we're going to look at Genesis chapter 35 and verse 8. Genesis chapter 35. I've got a few slides that we put together for the chapel service, so you get the luxury of those. Genesis chapter 35 and verse 8 says, "But Deborah, Rebekah's nurse, died, and she was buried beneath Bethel under an oak, and the name of it was called Al-Lon-Bacuth." Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the things that you bring to our understanding from your word, and ask you, Lord, that you would give me, Lord, the right words to say tonight to help this people and to relate what your spirit would be speaking to us. We'll thank you and praise you for all that you're doing. In your name we pray. Amen. So we see here in this chapter 35, verse 8, we see the context here is we've been studying Jacob's life in Sunday school. He fled from his brother. He went to live at Laban's house. He gained his wives there and 11 children. 20 years have passed. He's made it back to Canaan land. He's come to the encounter of his older brother by a few minutes. Encounter with his older brother in fear, wondering how things would work out. God has changed both of their hearts, and he brings them back together in peace and in love, and he crosses over Jordan into Canaan land, and he builds a house at Succoth, and then he moves on to Shechem, and then there's at Shechem there's some trouble that transpires, and then Jacob goes back to Bethel, where he was when he left his father's house to start with, where he slept that night on with a stone for a pillow. And he slept that night with a stone for a pillow. He saw the ladder with the angels going up and down. He's made it back to Bethel. He's consecrated his family, and he has brought them back to that place, and God appears to him there, speaks to him there. He renews his covenant with him, and then at the end of the chapter, he goes on to talk to him about a few things, and then Rachel dies and Isaac dies. But in the middle of this big story of Jacob's life, we have one verse about Deborah. "But Deborah, Rebekah's nurse, died, and she was buried beneath Bethel under an oak, and the name of it was Al-Lon-Bacuth." In my Bible, I have a little arrow, and I wrote the question, why is this here? Because in the scope of the story, it really doesn't, I mean, it's part of Jacob's life, but Why in the middle of going back to Bethel and God renewing, why did they put one verse here about this lady named Rebekah or Deborah? Why did they put one verse here? Now, there's another verse in the Bible that most likely talks about her. It tells us when Eliezer went to get Rebekah to be Isaac's wife, it says that she left when her dad gave her permission to leave. It said she left with her nurse. And so most scholars believe that the nurse that was indicated there, those many years prior, this is the same person. And so you wonder, why in the middle of it all? You know, there's a lot of people in the Bible, God doesn't give their name. He says, man of God. He says, it'll just talk about it. But we have this lady's name in this verse. about her. And her name means bee. Bee. Then it also says that, and Deborah, Rebekah's nurse, died, and she was buried there beneath Bethel under an oak. And the name of it was called Elon Bacchath. Now, we have a verse in the Bible that gives us her name, Deborah. And then they also, when they buried her, I don't know if the tree already had a name or if they named it after they buried her there. I don't know. But she was buried at that tree, and that tree has a name. And it just means a monumental tree of weeping. Must have been something really important about this lady. They buried her underneath this monumental tree of weeping. It was a place they marked. They said this, they marked the occasion. There's a lot of people in Jacob's life, I'm sure, that have come and gone and passed and died. But they put this lady underneath this monumental tree of weeping. When she passed, they were really, really sad. They were really, really sad. We've got a verse, this one verse about this lady. It tells us her name. It tells us that she was a nurse. And it tells us that when she died, they paid her great respect and they wept. And so I just began to ask, Lord, why did you tell us this? And I began to think about what her role was in Jacob's life. What was her role in that family? She was a nurse. A nurse is somebody who cares for other people. A nurse is someone who cares for other people. And so she was, she had been with the family all of these years. Now, we can speculate that as Jacob came back to the Canaan land, that he had some interaction with his father and with his brother Esau, and he probably requested, I want Rebekah to come live with us. He probably did, because she is with Jacob when she dies. So he's come back. He went out alone. He's come back with all of his children. He's come back with his wives, and he's come back with all of his cattle and his servants that he has. And when he gets there, he's got one special person he wants to get in contact with, and it's Deborah. He requested her to come. No doubt she had played an important role in her life, and I can think of somebody we can often think of that might have this type of influence on us, and that'd be like a grandma. I remember Nanny Miller. She was a grandma to everybody. I loved when we first started the school here, and Luana would take us home on Thursday, and Jerry would take us home on, what day was it, Luana? I know your day was Thursday because you were off. I believe that was your off day. Luana would take us home on Thursday. Jerry would take us home another day. And then Mom would take us home 3 days. So they took turns. And I remember every time that Mom would take us down to Pittsburgh and pull in that gravel driveway and drive down there, we were always begging to get out because we wanted to go and spend time at Nanny's, because we knew when Ed got in there, he was going to get a grilled cheese sandwich and he was going to get Frankenberries, and there was going to be good things, and we could go in there and watch Batman, and there were all kinds of things that would go on because Nanny would take care of you. She took care of you. She took care of the nursery for many years. She was the nursery attendant here on Sunday morning for many years, and you knew she's going to take care of you. That's the kind of person that Deborah was. And so I began to think about her name. The Lord gave us a name. He gave us her name for a reason. Her name means bee. And so I began to think, well, what is it about a bee? If you think about a colony of bees, there's three types of bees. There's the queen bee, and there's only one of those in a hive. And that queen bee, now Vedith, you're going to have a test. Are you getting this? No, I'm just kidding. She'll never let me live down the time I gave y'all a test in the adult Bible class that one Sunday. There's a queen bee, one in the hive, and she spends her whole life laying eggs. Then there are the drone bees, and there's about 60 to 100 drone bees in a hive. And Jackie, don't call me out if I get something wrong. She's been to the, is it called an apiary? No, what's a beekeeping called? There's a fancy name for it. I forget. But Jackie and Aaron have had bees. They know all about it. There are drones. There's about 60 to 100 drones in a hive. And the drones are the male bees that all they do is fertilize. And they spend their life doing that. The other 20 to 60,000 bees that are in that hive are all worker bees. So when I think about Deborah, she was a bee. She was a worker. She was a worker. The worker bees, they spend their whole, did some reading on it, said they spend their whole life, they work themselves to death, literally, is what you read about. The worker bees work themselves to death. From the get-go, as soon as a bee hatches, it immediately has a job to do that's important to the care of the whole hive. Its first job is to clean up its own cell that it just came out of. So from the get-go, a bee is a servant. A bee is a worker. And so they cleans up the hive. They clean up the cell where they're at. They spend their time cleaning. As soon as they're hatched, they begin to do that. And as a worker bee goes through the stages of life, it goes from one job to the next. It'll have changes within the physiology of its body that bring on these different functions that it follows as a worker bee. And so after it's hatched, it cleans up its pod where it was an egg and where it developed. It cleans it out so that another egg can be laid. And then within 3 or 4 days, it becomes a nurse bee. And the nurse bee has special, its body has changed in such a way that it can produce various chemicals that can be useful to feed the other eggs, the larvae that are in the cells. It also feeds the young drones that have, as they have hatched, that are not ready to begin fertilizing eggs yet. It feeds them. They also begin to take food to the queen bee, and they take care of feeding the queen. And so they become a nurse bee. And so they spend their time as a nurse. They spend about 10 days of their life just feeding everyone they can possibly feed and handing out. And Deborah was probably that kind of person. That's why Jacob wanted her, because she had probably fixed him a lot of meals. She had done for him as he grew up. He had seen her help his mother as she prepared and took care of the family. And so the nurse bees, they will spend their time as a nurse bee and feeding all kinds of all the different animals that are there. As the bees that clean, they also take care, I mentioned as cleaning, they also take care of any bees that have died in the nest, and they get rid of them. They attend to the queen. And so then, after they've been a nurse bee, and they've brought food to everybody around them, then their body changes again, and they become the nectar producing. They begin to, they can take the pollen that's been brought in by the bees that have foraged for it, and they begin to process it with the royal jelly and process it, and they become nectar processing bees. So now they're producing the quantity of honey that's in the beehive. And so now they spend their time not just feeding individuals, but now they're processing to feed the whole hive and to contribute to the honey that is being produced. And so they go from feeding and nursing to producing and processing. And so it's one job. And then a few days later, in the summertime, a bee will live about 5 to 7 weeks. And so this is their life cycle. So we're about 2 weeks into their life cycle. They got out of the nest and started cleaning. Then they started nursing. And so about 2 weeks in, they begin to, they're processing the pollen that comes in. And then as their body changes, they become builders. They're, instead of being able to produce the honey and the royal jelly and all of those things that feed everyone, now they become builders. They have a wax producing gland that kicks in, and now they start building the honeycomb. They put caps on top of each cell where an egg has been laid. They put a wax cap on top of the cell to protect the egg that's in that cell. They also begin to produce the honeycomb and the wax buildup. And so they have this wax. So they become builders. They went from cleaners to nurses to processors to builders. Now they're builders and they begin to build in the nest. And so then the body changes again. And as the body changes again, they no longer can produce the wax. Now they become guard bees. And they spend their time guarding the hive, making sure that there are no intruders in the hive. And so as they're guarding, you might say, well, there's 60,000 bees. How can they tell a difference between a good bee and a bad bee? One of my own or some intruder? Well, there are some chemicals that are given off by the queen that most every bee that has been in the hive has on it. And also, there are other markers, chemical markers, that help them detect that the bee, that this is an intruder bee, it's not part of us. And so they spend their time as a guard. So these worker bees, they literally work themselves to death. They clean, they nurse, they process food, they build the hive, they guard the hive. And then the last week or so of their life, they become a forager. They forage. They become the bees that fly out from the hive to find the pollen. And they may fly as far as a 5-mile radius. I find that hard to believe, but that's what I read. And anything you read on the internet's true, you know. And so they begin to forage. They fly away from the hive. And they look for the pollen, and they have very intricate means by which when they've come back with pollen, they can tell the other bees where the pollen is. They do a little dance, and they stand a particular direction based on where the sun is to tell the other bees where they can go to find. If they found a good stash of pollen, a good place to get it, they can indicate and they can tell the other worker bees. And the way they do their dance tells them how far they have to go to get there. And so they become these foragers. And so the last few days of their life, they literally are spending the last moments of their life flying away and flying back as many times as they possibly can until they finally die and use up every bit of energy that they have taking care of that hive. Here we have this lady, Deborah, who was a bee. She had spent every moment of her life. When we are introduced to her in chapter 30, I believe it is, she leaves with Rebecca as a nurse. We see here when she dies, she was a nurse. She had spent her whole life being a servant. She had spent her whole life being a servant and serving others. She had given her all for others. And at school, the reason that I spoke on this in chapel is we are our theme for this year is Light Your World, and part of the theme has the verse, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." And so my emphasis to the young people was how important good works are. God's called us to be servants. He's not called us to be the most important. He's not called us to be the most powerful and the most prestigious. He's called us to glorify Him with our good works, which are the works of being a servant. When the disciples had this big argument among themselves, who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom? The Lord looked at them in Mark chapter 4 and verse 10, and He said, "The chiefest of all will be the servant of all." That's the greatest. And so when I think about Deborah, they buried her under this oak tree named Elon Bacchath, a monumental tree of weeping, because she no doubt fulfilled exactly what Christ said when He said, "The chiefest of all will be the servant of all." And because she was such a servant, she had such an impact on the rest of their lives that when she died, they didn't know what to do, and they wept and they mourned. I'm thinking of Dorcas in the book of Acts. When she passed away, they wept and they mourned so much for her. And when they sent to Peter and said, "Peter, she's died," and they more or less, Scripture doesn't say it exactly like this, but this is pretty much the way it happened. They said, "What are we going to do? How can we make it without her? She does so much good for us. Look at so many ways that she's blessed every one of us." And Peter realized how important she was. And so the disciples went to pray for her, and the Lord knew how important she was that they said, apparently the Lord said, "Yeah, you're right. I think I will send her back because you really do need her," and raised her from the dead. She didn't preach sermons. She didn't work miracles, the Bible doesn't say. But what it says about Dorcas is that she served. She sewed. She gave clothes out. She helped others. That's the kind of individual that Deborah was. She dedicated her whole life to serve. Like these bees do, they literally work themselves to death for the good of everyone else. It's not a selfish endeavor. It's for everyone else's good. And God has called us to be servants. Philippians chapter 2 tells us that to look not every man on his own thing, but every man also on the things of others. Now, when I first read this verse, it sounds to me like I can be real nosy. Look not every man on his own thing, but every man also on the things of others. And I can nose in everybody's business and see what John Martin's doing and gossip a little bit. But no, that's not what that's saying. What that's saying is don't get stuck on yourself. Me and my four no more. It's all about me. That verse is saying, look not every man on his own thing. Don't just get stuck on yourself, but you're watching out for everyone else. You're taking care of the other guy. Look not every man on his own thing, but every man. Now that's every man. So it's saying all of us. There's not some of us that are servants and others of us that aren't. He's saying all of us should be looking out for each other. All of us should be serving one another. We should be reaching out. I should be concerned about what's going on in each and every one of your lives. You should be concerned, and that's the good thing about a church. In a church, we do look out for each other. We see each other in need, and we take action to help one another. And that's the great thing about the community of a church. That's a great thing about a family. In a family, we serve each other. And so, but this is a general attitude that everybody in the body of Christ should have. We're all looking out for each other. We're ready to serve. We're ready to do our part. We're ready to work. We're ready to lend a hand. We're ready to do what's needed in the life of each and every one that God puts in our way. Ready to be a servant. Ready to be a servant. Deborah was a servant. She served all of her life. The family of Jacob. A couple things I want to mention about how we can be a servant. And sometimes teaching takes longer than preaching. But I want to talk about a couple ways. That verse, that they may see your good works. A good work. Now, when they see our good work, it's not so that they'll glorify me and say, oh, he's such a great person. Now, they didn't say anything about Deborah till she died. Then they honored her. But we don't read about her before this. The good works, they see our good works. They see our good works, and they glorify the Father which is in heaven. And a good work is something that lightens the load. And I think that's probably what Deborah did. She lightened the load. She made things just a little bit better. She made life just a little bit easier. That's what a servant does. A servant. Why do you hire somebody to work in your business? Because you can't do it all. You need somebody else to take a little bit of the load off. And it's the same way as in being a servant in the body of Christ. We want to lighten the load. We want to make the load a little less on somebody else. We want to make life a little bit easier for them. That's what good works are. Good works is just saying, hey, can I lighten your load for a moment? Hey, can I make life a little, how can I help you and make your life easier? That's what we do for one another as a body of Christ, as family. We lighten the load. And so that's what a good work is. Now, spiritually, there's some things we can do to lighten the load. When we look around us in the world, we see a world full of sin. And a world full of sorrows. And we have a message that can lighten their load. I think about Pilgrim that carried that burden of sin on his back. Evangelist helped him lighten his load. He pointed him in the direction through the wicked gate. You'll get to the cross and your load can be lifted when you get to the cross. That's what we do spiritually. We lighten the load for the sinners that we see around us. Also in the world, we make life easier for people. As we live a Christian life around in this world, we make life easier for everyone. When we live by God's standards and by God's ways, we make life easier for everyone. In areas of temptation, in areas of trials, in areas of toil, we make life easier for those that are around us. As servants, we want to bring others to Christ. We want to live a testimony of faith. And we want to make others fruitful. That's what a servant does. We make others fruitful. And how do we do that? We use, like those bees, like Deborah, we use our hands, we use our feet, we use our lips, we use our eyes to help each other and to serve each other. No doubt, Jacob remembered how Deborah would look at him when she was cleaning up the tent or stoking a fire. No doubt he remembered her words, the things she said as she worked along there in the family. She remembered how she used her hands, how she would go and do. And that's what a servant does. Servant is doing something for someone else. And I believe as we look at these scriptures, And we look here in Genesis 35:8, and we think, Lord, why did you tell us about Deborah? I think it's because he wants us to hear a lesson about servanthood. The chiefest of all is the servant of all. And here we have a lady who, when she passed, they were really sad because she had been their nurse. She had cared and worked and given and cared and worked and given. And that's the kind of person God wants us to be. He wants us to be a servant. He wants us to be a servant. How can you serve? How can you serve? How can I serve someone else? What can we do to lend a hand? What can we do to make a difference in someone's life? As we look into Scripture, we see an encouragement here to not think about ourselves, but to be the kind of person that Deborah was, who cared for everyone around her. Praise the Lord. So why is this verse here? These things are written in the Old Testament for your learning, for your understanding. And I'm thankful that the Lord told me about Deborah, and he encourages me to be a servant in his kingdom. How can we serve someone else? Well, that's my lesson.